I can't wait to bring this word, and I always think every word the Lord gives me is the best, but today is very relevant, of course, and but you know, tomorrow we celebrate, I don't know if that's a word you used, but the Pearl Harbor, when Pearl Harbor was bombed. I'll be telling you just a bit about that, and we'll go some other places. But it's going to tie in with what I'm doing, but I asked Kathy if she could gear up and bring me a song. I just want to play for you this morning. I listened to the words of this song this week, and I thought, my goodness, Father, we must have a battle hymn in our hearts. We have to have a battle hymn right now. We have to have a song in our hearts. So would you listen to this as we put on the battle hymn of the Republic? You can stand and rejoice or be seated, whatever you feel, but let's bring the lights down and put the song on. Come on, give God the glory one more time. His truth will forever march on. His name is truth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Glory to God, especially in this day. Let me read you something. On December 7th, 1941, on a Sunday morning, just before 8 o'clock, 350 Imperial Japanese aircraft performed a surprise attack on the U.S. Naval Base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. The raid took only 75 minutes, but it destroyed 20 USS naval ships and 8 battleships, 350 airplanes. There were 2,400 Americans killed that day and over 1,100 wounded. The next day, President Franklin D. Roosevelt declared war and took us into World War II. The following day, Germany and Italy declared war on America. I'll never forget, in the sixth grade, I had a teacher from Hawaii, and he was a wonderful man. Many of you may have remember him. His name was Edward Mathias. And many of us that went to Olive Street School, me and some of my nieces and nephews and sisters had Mr. Mathias. And he was just the most awesome man, teacher, that you'd never forget. And he told us about this day, and I always remember it. In honor of him and, of course, my husband, we went to Hawaii, and I remember seeing my husband stand there in front of the Arizona because he had been a sailor and stationed in Hawaii, and I watched the tears flow down his face as he honored those that went down with the ship. But Mr. Mathias would tell us how he was in church that morning. It was about 8 o'clock, and he and his family always went to church early for Sunday school. And they got there, and they heard a big boom, and then they found out that they had been bombed, and people started running. And it was the most interesting thing, but I remember talking about it so many times. But I just, where I'm going this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the battle strategy. And we always need strategies for everything. For years, I've been praying about a soul-winning strategy for the church, and I haven't really gotten that in my heart yet. You say, well, Pastor, that's just a witness. Well, I know, but I'm just telling you, I know what I'm looking for in my heart, and it's a strategy to win souls in this last day. And I think what we're going through right now is going to cause that to happen. Don't you think? Because the harvest is ripe and God's people are coming closer to Him. Now, that was an air attack by the Japanese on, that would be tomorrow, 12/7, 79 years ago. 1941, and they came in the air, and one article I read about this week said that there were many questions about how in the world did something like that happen in America. And they said people had gotten lax, the Navy, the military, I mean, we'd had peace on Earth for a while, and so they'd even allowed some of the military people could go to church during that time. It's so peaceful over there, and so a lot of them weren't even ready. Thank God they weren't there, and many more men lives would have been lost. So that wasn't, remember this, put this in the back of your mind, that was an air attack. We know that. Goes without saying, an air attack. 350 aircraft was able just to slide right in on us and dropped the bombs. But that wasn't the end of the story, because we had a president that was bold enough the next day to declare war, and he just went over there and dropped those big first-time nuclear bombs, I think first and last for nuclear, and dropped them and destroyed that enemy. But then we had to deal with Italy and Germany. Well, I know that we had the Vietnam and the Gulf War, and we've had a lot of things happen, but I'm talking about here on our land, how our land gets under attack. And the next attack, you know, was 9/11 in New York City. And most of us in this room remember that, except for the little ones. But that was, again, a big surprise attack by an enemy, the Islamic terrorist from Iraq. And they came in, and there's a little debate on that, or Saudi Arabia, Iran, wherever they were. But there was a mixture of the Islamic terrorists that came in, a surprise attack. Again, I believe that America possibly, and what I read about about Hawaii and the military there, maybe we also got a little lackadaisical there and just kind of resting, and they came in as, how in the world would those kind of people be able to get in one of our U.S. airplanes and fly it into our own buildings and kill about 3,000 people? How could they do that? Well, they did. So those were in the air. So in those two wars, we know that our presidents just dealt with it, and they had to deal with it with natural weapons. They had to go in with bombs, and they used planes, and they used the Navy and the water and special forces. My one of my nephews is in the Army Special Forces, and he was one of the first groups that went into Saddam Hussein's mansion, and there's a picture of him sitting in the bathtub as they had just destroyed the whole mansion. And we know that we watched that enemy, Saddam Hussein himself, coming up out of a hole, bearded. He was hiding. He had to hide. And I'm going to tell you, they fought with bombs and ships and air raids and everything that they could do. But that's what they had to do with natural weapons. But the Bible says that when we pull down strongholds as the church, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And then when you read in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks to us in Ephesians chapter 6 about Jesus being seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And then the Bible says that he made us to sit down in heavenly places. So we sit with Jesus in heavenly places. So we fight from there, and we war from there, and we war on our knees, and we war in our secret place as we go to the Lord about these things. But there's also something that just always bothered me, just irked me, if I can use that word. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I'm glad I didn't call him the king. Didn't call him king. I said he was the prince of the power of the air. So to think that he has authority there in the second heavens. Now, where we are, we're here on earth. And the heavenlies above us, that's just the air zone. And then there's the orbit. And then there's the third heaven where God is. But remember when the angel went to Daniel and he said, God heard your prayers immediately when you prayed, but for 21 days I've been fighting the prince of the power of the air. I've been fighting that prince of Persia. That was nothing more than the devil. But I've been battling him. And I want to tell you today, that's who we're battling. Now, at Pearl Harbor and in Iraq, and then those places, Hiroshima and the Gulf War and all those wars, they had to receive our natural carnal weapons against them. Well, we went in with bombs and weapons. That's how we had to fight those. But with Satan being the prince of the power of the air, yes, he stirred all that up. But now we're battling something else. with this prince of the power of the air. But I want to say that even with him, the Bible also says, and let me not forget this, in Ephesians chapter 6, that the principalities, we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And what? Spiritual wickedness. Where? Yeah, in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where he is, and that's where his eons of demons are. The third of the angels fell out of heaven. So that's what we're contending with here. But the good news is that Jesus has called us to sit in heavenly places with him. Where? Far above. Huh, Brother Taylor? Far above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness in high places. So we're high above it because of who Jesus is. So let me show you something that is so awesome. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 2. Let me give you a little piece of we call it the Christmas story, a little bit of our church history with our Lord Jesus, a little bit of his history. So you kids that can read, you'll want to read this with me. But I want you to see who showed up right in the middle of the air one day. I mean, right in the middle. Right in the middle of the air. Look, Ephesians chapter 2. Excuse me, I'm on Ephesians. Luke. St. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. They lived out there, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, or good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Look, and suddenly there was with that angel, or the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the what? Okay, let's read that again, verse 14. Glory to God where? And peace on? And peace, goodwill where? Toward you. And so it says, so first one angel came and made the announcement, because you know God's angels are there as ministering spirits sent to minister to God's people. But they also brought messages. And all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament and places in the New Testament, you would see these angels, they would just keep showing up. They just showed up all the time. And so here you've got the angel showed up. So you had one angel that showed, and then suddenly there's a host. And that, you know, that's without number. A host translated. I'm going to give you this translation just in case you didn't know this, because I don't want you to forget it. But the angels made this announcement in the air. And then it says this suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. That means a host of heavenly host praising God. And so a heavenly host, it's a Hebrew word, and it means armies. Now, I'm almost finished now with the Bible again, but as I was reading through the Old Testament, every year I will read maybe a different translation. Well, I've been reading in the New International Version, NIV. So I've been reading through that, and all through the Old Testament, it would call God Lord of the Heavenly Hosts, Lord of the Heavenly Host. And then at times it would call him the Lord of the Armies of Heaven, the Captain of the Host of Angels, the Captain of the Army Host. I mean, it would just call him so many wonderful things, but it all had to do with armies and the angels, which were one. The armies and the angels are one because they're mighty, awesome, and powerful. So they are, yes, ministering spirits. There are warring spirits. And then there's the messengers. See, Mary got the messenger. Abraham got a messenger. Zechariah got a messenger. Elizabeth got a messenger. Joseph got a messenger. They all got messengers. And I believe that you and I get messengers. And we have to be careful because the Bible says that we entertain angels unaware sometimes. And many of you have said to me so many times, Pastor, you know, this happened the other day and I'm not sure that wasn't an angel. No, we keep our good balance and our boundaries, and we know we don't worship angels and we don't talk to angels. But they do talk to us. And they do come and they prevent things from happening and they do war. I mean, we've had some prayer meetings in here, and I'm going to tell you, I believe the warring angels show up many times. Not only here inside the church when we're praying corporately, but when you were praying at home and you're doing battle over your family or over your business or over your finances or whatever you're battling with, you watch. There's times where you will just feel the power of God in you and you'll begin to weep and you'll begin to even travail. Sometimes you wonder, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. The warring angel was sent to help you pray that thing through. And Jesus is forever lives to make intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. So we're covered with prayer wherever we go. So with that said, then, we are down here to also be messengers. Now, we use our giftings here. We take our gifts and we use them out there. We use them to speak words of encouragement and words of comfort to edify people. And so we use those gifts in the same way. We are messengers. We're also ministers, and so we take these messages and we reveal God's glory to people. There's times where they're encouraged just because you revealed God's goodness to them or his glory, and you told them how wonderful God was. So I just want to tell you, church, if there's ever a time that the church must prepare, and I know today we're talking about preppers. Everybody's talking about preppers for the past 5 years. You know, get your food stored up, get your water stored up, get all this stored up. They're called preppers that really go overboard on that. But I'm not talking about that kind of prepping this morning. I'm talking about a spiritual prepping in our hearts and in our mind, that we become steadfast in what we believe, and nobody can take that from us, because there are unseen armed forces fighting for us, fighting for the church. As the entire body of Christ. Unseen forces in the heavenlies, and we read it, on earth and in heaven. Those angels were in heaven and on earth. You can read that all throughout the Bible, clear to the book of Revelation. One of my favorite old choruses that we used to sing, I heard it for the first time at a Morris Cirillo convention. Be bold, be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord is with you. Yes, he is. And I want to say to you this morning, church, I know that the two battles that we mentioned, natural battles, Pearl Harbor and 9/11, those were both natural wars that came. But now we're looking at something else. Today, this is a whole new ball game. And the military cannot take care of this. And a bomb. They can't drop a bomb on this mess. This requires more than a bomb. So I'm just going to tell you, do not give up in this fight. I know that's simple. It may sound elementary to you. But do not give up in this fight. And don't give in. And don't you dare be intimidated. Because devils want to intimidate you. The spirit of Jezebel wants to intimidate, but we're not going to be intimidated by the mess going on out there. But there is a mighty Air Force. Oh, yeah, our United States and at Hiroshima and also at Pearl Harbor and 9/11. What did they use? They used the air. The military used the Air Force. But at 9/11, they just used Islamic terrorists. So what do we need? We have an Air Force, folks. We have a mighty Air Force in the skies, and it's called the Angels of the Lord, the mighty host of heaven. We have a mighty Air Force, and they cannot and will not and never will be conquered, ever. We have a spiritual Navy. You just want to run these these metaphors. We got a spiritual navy that goes out into the waters, the messy waters of the world, and sits there and takes dominion and takes power over the spiritual waters. It's a power of the Holy Ghost. And we have a powerful Holy Ghost navy that can never and will never, ever be conquered in the name of Jesus. Ever that does business for us. The psalmist says we do business in deep waters. And it said sometimes that old boat gets out there in deep waters and it is tossed to and fro. And the people that walk on the boat, they stagger. It says like a drunken man. And they have come to their wits' end. But then it says that they will see their desired haven. Why? Because they cried out to the captain of their boat. Hallelujah. We have those special forces and those Navy SEALs and those that just go a little bit deeper. They go a little farther than a natural prayer. They begin to just move on in. Church, according to the word, I'm telling you, he says, you do not give place to the devil. Place means location. It just means a territory. You cannot let him get his foot in your door. If he puts his foot in the door, he's going to be able to push it open and walk right on in. And then you're going to be saying like they did in Hawaii and like they did at 9/11, what happened? And God's going to say to us, while you slept, the enemy came in. That's what it says in Matthew. Jesus said that. He said the kingdom of heaven is just like that. You cannot sleep. You stay in the kingdom of heaven. You live in this. We live in this. We move in this. And we have our being in that kingdom, church. I was talking about that last week. But now we have two wars going on at the same time. No. They're not flying in helicopters and planes and shooting at us from submarines and ships. And it's not that at all. But we have those two different evil attacks, wars of a different nature that we've never dealt with quite like this before. It's a battle of a different kind. And that is that spirit of the lying Antichrist. Amen? He is full of lies. He does not know the truth. And that's all he is ever going to tell us. The people of God. All he is ever going to do is tell you lies because that's all he knows. And that's happening on the ground. Okay, that's on earth. That's here on the ground. Now, this one that's going on right now is fighting against our very freedom. And its disguise is in politics. You say, oh, no, don't get started again. No, I have to get started. I promised when I came I wasn't going to yell today. But it is disguised in politics. And if you say anything against it, they call you all kinds of names. You know what they call? I'm not even going to honor that today. But it's all an inside job. To think it's like the Trojan horse. That was just pushed right into our nation, right into our own America. And many have swallowed a hook, line, and sinker. Buy it, believe it, don't want to talk about it, censor free speech, and in disguise of trying to help the poor, trying to help the underprivileged, it's all a big lie, and it's going totally opposite of everything that you and I know. But the Bible tells us to commit what? Ourselves to him. We commit ourselves to God. Resist the devil. Don't play with him. No, don't run with him. Don't compromise with him. Don't pitter-patter with him. I mean, just stay away. It says resist him. He'll flee. You know, he don't want to hang around with you if you're not playing. Okay, he's just not going to stay there, especially if you're committed to God. So don't you dare, church. I'm just telling you today, don't you dare agree with his lies. And don't you dare speak in partial agreement with what he says. I'm telling you, I am so sick of hearing people talk out of this corner and then this corner. Well, we have freedom in America. We have freedom of speech, and we have this, and we're not going to let anybody take it away. And then all of a sudden, they'll turn and get out of the other corner. Well, you know, if Biden wins, we're just going to pray for him, and we're going to be okay. Hey, we're steadfast in God. We can go through anything, all right? I know we're steadfast, but I am not going to say for 1 minute. I'm not going to say for 1 minute if he wins. No, that demonic Jezebel spirit cannot win in America. It just cannot, folks. Come on. Don't even say that. I'm telling you, if we have an evangelist in the next few months, I'm going to tell them, when you get in our pulpit, you don't talk partiality with that devil. Okay, we're not playing with him. We're not going to let him speak. We're only talking one thing, and God's going to take care of it. And so we stand tall because we're not going to give up on our society, and we are not going to give up our freedoms, and we know it's an inside job, and we're looking all around, and we're alert, and we are awake. We are not sleeping. While you slept, the devil did this. Well, no, while they slept. Not while I slept, because I'm not asleep. You're not asleep. So we're going to stay awake, and we're going to ride this old horse. Where? All the way back to the barn. That's where we're going. We're just going to stay on it. So don't you dare agree with it, because we have natural lying forces. I mean lying forces all in the heavenlies. All kinds of things. Lied to our young people. Lied to the old people. Lied to every race in America. It's just the most horrible demonic thing. But, church, don't ever forget that we have the spiritual forces, a host of heaven's armies fighting with us and fighting for us. So if they're fighting for us and with us, don't give in to anything that's demonic. I mean, don't give in, and don't you dare compromise with this, because it is all about socialism. It's all about that. Did you know that China... Well, of course you know that China censors its people. They have no freedom to speak. They have no freedom. They can't socially gather together. And what's our nation trying to do to us? Censor us, and you can't have Thanksgiving together. And you can't have Christmas together. And you can't, and you can't. But I think even the world's beginning to wake up to that. Because our governor said, no, you got to close down again. And the people in L.A., of all places, in Orange County, they're just as radical and wild as can be, but all of a sudden, they're turning on those radicals. See, what the devil does, he overextends his hand too far, and he always reveals himself. If you're watching, you will see him show up. So we're not talking about a sweet Joe Biden that we've seen for 47 years in this world. We're not talking about sweet Joe Biden. We're talking about a Jezebel spirit who is pushing that man around, running him around. He don't even know what he believes. But there's a lot of people behind him that knows what they want to do, and that's what they're going to do, because I'm telling you, that precious old man's not going to make it much longer. He's just as senile as can be right now. But that Jezebel spirit, let me tell you, a Jezebel spirit, I will refer to Jezebel as a she, because she was a she in the Old Testament. But a Jezebel spirit is a controlling spirit. It's a spirit that wants to take over. And that is the spirit that's upon this land today. It's not, listen, it is not the Antichrist, but it is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist has been upon this land for years. He's still here. But the spirit of the Antichrist, yes, that spirit can be male, female, a group of people, it can be anything, but it wants to take our freedom of speech, wants to censor our mouth, wants to take our freedom of religion. Do y'all hear me? You know that. She wants to continue aborting babies. She wants to change the laws of God. She's already sought to change the laws of God in marriage. She did that. She wants us to change the natural use of our bodies, which Romans, if you got a problem with that, read Romans chapter 1. It'll tell you the truth. And the word, see, when we talk about being saved, what happened with us? We were transformed. We were changed. We were changed, the Bible says, from the old man to the new. So Satan borrows these words. You know why? Because he doesn't have a mind of his own. He don't have a mind of his own. So he has to borrow words like transformed, trans. So he uses that word trans. He has to use the word election. I'm going to mess up the election. Are you kidding me? God said the word election years ago. He elected us. So the devil had to use the word election. See, he's just always having to come up with a word because he don't have any of his own. So he wants to continue aborting the babies and changing the laws of God and change the laws of marriage. And I don't know how you can be this dumb and still breathe, but defund the police. Now, the people that protect our neighborhoods and our lives, our children, if you ever are in need, you can call them. They'll be there. She, the Jezebel spirit, the Antichrist spirit, wants to defund the police. And you would dare speak out of this corner of your mouth and say, well, we'll be okay. I'm going to be praying. Stop. In Jesus' name. Don't do that. Because that thing is anything but natural. No one in their right mind would defund police. Are you kidding me? Mike Boudreaux gave his life. His sons are still in law enforcement. Danny Aguirre's given his life. He's going to retire soon. For what? Taking care of a nation, and you want to take their pay away? See, it's under the disguise of trying to save money. It's anything but natural. That's just not natural. I mean, that is just not natural, is all I can say. And that is a total spiritual war from hell. It doesn't even get its origin from earth. It doesn't get its origin from heaven. It doesn't get its origin from its mama and daddy or Texas or Oklahoma or Europe. No. It gets its origin from hell. That's these things I'm just killing babies. No, that origin's from hell. I started to write down, they still want to push for a full-term abortion. And I was checked in my spirit. No, don't put full-term abortion. That's bad, but any abortion's bad. No. Don't just say full-term. No, it's all bad. So where did that come from? Hell. Who wants your little innocent grandchildren? Who does something so ignorant? Say it. Hell. Hell and Satan. So don't you dare even begin to compromise with any of that. You say, well, but we'll be okay. Now we should pray for everybody. Yes, we should. And we're going to be okay. Oh, you know we will. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want no underground church. When China shut down the churches, when China said you cannot gather inside, when China began to censor them and said, no, in America, no, you don't put what Joe Biden's son did, the deals he made with the crooked deals with China and received all that money. No, you cannot put that on Google. You cannot put that on Twitter. You cannot Facebook it. You cannot. They censored it all because they all support that agenda. Now, if you support their agenda, you're in. You're good. But if you don't, they're going to shut you up if they can. And so China has already done that. You're not going to gather together, and they don't. So what do the churches do? They gather underground. Gather underground. I don't want to gather underground. So we better take care of it right now, folks. Listen, we're not seated down here. We're seated way up there, far above principalities and powers. Come on, church. Come on, far above principalities and powers. So we are just not going to agree with that. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to cower. And we're not going to give one inch to the devil, not one place. All right, one more thing and I'll quit. Let's talk the third attack. Okay, we have Pearl Harbor. You had 9/11. You have the election going on, or we'll call it politics. Politics, politics, whatever you want to call that. But that's a war. That's a spiritual war. It's between good and evil, by the way. Again, I'll tell you, it's not no necessarily between Biden and Trump, nor Democrat or Republican. It's between good. There you go. So don't you forget that. Always remember, it's good and it's evil. So it's between that. So the third air attack, you know what it is. It came from China. And there's talk that they could have created it. The coronavirus, COVID-19. The correct name is coronavirus disease. The reason they call it COVID, that's abbreviation. The CO for co is corona. The VI is for virus. And the D is for disease, coronavirus disease. Now, most of you know this. You found out, really out when it first came, that corona comes from the Latin for the word crown. Now, there's another word. That's our word. That word belonged to Jesus. Don't come out of hell. Okay, it originated in heaven, not hell. So, it's Latin for crown. It's derived from an ancient Greek garland or a wreath. Now, just let me read this to you so I can keep it straight. Please listen for just a minute. You've seen the virus, and it has a picture. I didn't want to honor it by putting its picture up today. I could have, but you've all seen that big tan ball with the little red spikes. You've seen that, so I didn't want to give it honor. Okay, so you've seen the virus through a microscopic image, which shows the club-shaped spikes that stud the surface of the coronavirus that give the appearance of a radiant crown. Now, the gods and the goddesses of the 4th century, onward even to Alexander the Great, wore a solar crown representing the sun, looking like a radiant halo. The halos and the crowns are so associated with the power, and with joy, and Western art, contradictory to the reality of the tragic pandemic that we are now experiencing. Okay, and that wasn't written by the church. But it says even that wants to represent power and joy. Well, it was of the goddesses. They wore them with spikes. But my mind goes this morning to the Statue of Liberty. That precious statue that foreigners saw as they came into Staten Island from other countries of the world. She stands, and what does she have? It's like a halo with spikes on it, representing power. But it represents freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And so Satan stole from that freedom of America, or at least trying to. He will never steal it. But we can see how this demonic thing is. It's an anti-God. It's an antichrist spirit. Remember, it's not him. It's not the antichrist, but it's his spirit upon this earth. And church, we've been given a president, and you know it, that stands with us against all this fraud and against all the crimes and the things. I don't know if you've been watching One American News, but I hope that your TV carries it. Watch One American News. They are carrying the fraudulent trials that are going on. There are over 1,000 people who have signed affidavits of telling the truth on what they saw as they were poll counters, and it's the most amazing thing. Some of the things they saw, I won't go into it. This one lady, one of the legislators were trying to trip her up, and she said, "Sir, I'm a single woman. I'm a mother of," I can't remember what she said, three, four. "I'm a mother, and I've signed an affidavit. That means if I lie, I could go to prison. Do you think that I would want to come here and bring you a falsehood?" No, I sure wouldn't. And that's what most of them have said. Now, there's more happening tomorrow with Sidney Powell. And if you can watch it, I want you to see it. She's going to be down in Georgia. But just watch and see the evil tactics of the enemy. Now, we may believe a little bit of it had this president that God has given us, who stands for religious freedom with us. He stands for pro-life. He stands for so many things and the freedom of speech. He stands with us and for us. Now, with us, we know we have a heavenly host that stands between us and them. But physically, listen to me, church, he's the only thing, he's the only human that stands between us and them. Oh, I didn't get any amens on that, but I should have. Should have gotten a lot. Because he is the only human. They don't care about you and me. Now, we're going to fight this in the spirit realm. And millions are doing it. But the only one, why do you think I say he's the only one? He's the only one they want to take out. They don't care about you, Jeff. They don't care about you, Lyndall. They're not trying to take you out. But they're trying to take this big old orange-haired man out. Because he stands with us, and they don't like us, and they don't like God. Remember, they're anti-God. See, they're anti-Christ. So whenever you get a man unashamed, no, he doesn't know the Bible, but he'll get up, and he will talk about it, and he will ask us to pray. You say, it's phony baloney. You better quit talking out of both sides of your mouth. You've got a man standing for you in the flesh. We better let him stand, and we better cover him and pray. Amen? Amen. This spirit's been trying to take him out ever since before he ran for the office. I mean before. And after he started running, it's been one thing after the other. So does this spirit actually expect us to believe it? We don't believe this spirit. And half of America doesn't believe it, but there is a half that does. So we're going to pray this thing through. When I was growing up in the church, they used to always tell us to pray through. We had to pray through, man, to get saved. You got to pray through. And then after you got through, then you had to pray other things all the way through. You had to pray through. And so I was thinking, we need to pray this thing through. And you know what? We're not going to stop. We're going to pray it all the way through. Amen. If we give in to one thing, church, if we give in to one of these items that they're trying to get us to believe in, if you just agree with maybe we should shut the church. Or maybe we shouldn't have Christmas. Or maybe we shouldn't, you know. Or maybe that little girl can have an abortion because. Or maybe if you give into one item, if you give into one person, you say, well, you know, I kind of like Nancy Pelosi. If you give into one person or one thing, if you give into any one of those things, it's like giving into the whole thing. You're not messing with a woman, a man, or a president. You're talking about a devil of hell. You're talking about a spirit, folks. You don't deal with spirits the way you deal with people. We just don't. Okay, did I tell you I was closing? I'm about to. How am I doing? I haven't been yelling, have I? Okay, we're not going to give into this controlling spirit, but listen to this. Here's another word. I told you the devil wants to just steal our words. I mean, he steals our songs. He steals the dance. He just wants to steal everything. But Revelation chapter 14:14, I think I gave that to you to put up. Revelation 14:14, look at this. John says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon that cloud, one set unto, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head what? Oh, you better say that again. He had a golden crown, which means he's the king over all. And I didn't give her this, but if you go down to chapter 19, verse 12, it'll say that he has many crowns. And I did discipleship class years ago, and I taught on the crowns, and crowns are rewards. Rewards are crowns in heaven. And did you know, listen, did you know that just for us believing in the coming of the Lord, just because you and I are looking for his coming and we know he's coming back, did you know we're going to receive a crown for that? We are. We're going to receive a crown. Did you know that just because you are righteous, you are the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus? Did you know just because you're holy, just because you're obedient, did you know you're going to receive a crown of righteousness? You're going to receive a crown of obedience, a crown of righteousness. Did you know? Just because myself and many others preach the word of the Lord like I'm doing right now, we will receive a reward for preaching his word. And the Antichrist wants to take this crown and kill Americans and kill Europeans and kill Italians and kill people all over the world. Why? Because the spirit of Jezebel is jealous and she's mean and she's controlling and she wants to take over. And that's why China came against America, because they didn't want America standing between them and the world, because they could take over the world and they could have the most money and their economy would be the greatest. They just had to get America out of the way. Not going to happen. It didn't happen. We had, what are they calling that, where they got the message to go with that vaccine real fast? Operation Warp Speed. And it was Warp Speed. I mean, who thinks like that? God sent that down here. You've got to have strategies to beat this enemy. You have to have a strategy. And you have to have a strategy in your home and in your marriage and in your house and for your family. You better get the strategy, because your kids may not get it. So you better pray the thing through and get it done. But I'm going to tell you, we got all these crowns laid up, but this Antichrist spirit is hungry and thirsting for power. He wants the crown. That's all. He's after the crown. But we're still going to have our crown. Jesus is still crowned Lord of heaven and earth. And he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. How would you listen to those words? How about dominion? How about dominion? Listen to 1 Peter 5:11. It says this: to him be glory and dominion. To Jesus be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. That's what it says in 1 Peter 5:11. So what did the devil do? Let me grab that word dominion. Let me put dominion on this machine and send, oh, I won't send it into Texas because they won't take it. I won't send it over here to this state because they won't do it. I won't send, but he knew what states he could put it into. So he put it into the five states that had a bunch of ignoramuses at the top. And when he got it there, then they were able to do whatever they wanted with that dominion, borrowed word from heaven, dominion machine. It didn't originate. Dominion didn't originate in hell. It originated in heaven. The crown came from heaven. Election came from heaven. The glory came from heaven. And he's been trying to rob it and take it over. He doesn't have a mind of his own, because he knows the King of glory has it all. And I'm going to speak this from what I felt the Lord gave me yesterday in prayer. And it's a one-liner, but listen to it. With this crown. This is an amazing thing to think that corona is actually the word crown in Latin. I mean, that just is mind-boggling. But here's what the Lord spoke yesterday in prayer. That the baby, listen, the baby is starting to crown the birth canal of its mother, the church. It's getting ready to come out of the mother. It's getting ready to come out of the woman. It's getting ready to come out, church. When the demonic Antichrist spirit reveals itself the most, God said, I'm bringing this little baby to birth. And have you ever seen it? He said into Isaiah, have you ever seen me see a nation in travail and bring the baby to birth and not deliver? He said, the baby is crowning, Portia. The baby is crowning. We're starting to see the baby's head in the body of Christ. We're starting to see the baby crown. Did you ever hear the doctor say that, ladies? The baby is crowning. So I just want to tell you, stay focused, folks. You stay in the word of the Lord. You stay steadfast. And you pray it all the way through. You pray it all the way through, and we shall see what the Lord does. Pray it all the way through and prepare yourself, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Stand on your feet with me. Woo. Oh, Lord, your coming is getting so close. And, Lord, and then the Antichrist can come when we're lifted out of here. And he can do whatever he's going to do. But he's not going to do it while we're here. Oh, your word tells us he is. And he can't do it because we're still here. It's us. We're not. No, it's not Donald Trump for that. It's us. When we're lifted out of here, then it'll all break loose. But he is a physical person standing between them. But we are the ones that's really standing here. No. This is why the Antichrist can't break loose. But folks, he's got his little spirits and little imps going on. But when it's all done and we're taken away, all hell, literal hell, will break loose on this earth. The Bible says they will be running to the hills and running to caves and say, fall on me, fall on me. Oh, no, who will survive it? Wonderful Jesus, we praise you for keeping us. We are kept people. We are kept by the glory of God. I thank you for those crowns you have laid up for us. I thank you, Jesus, that you have dominion. I thank you that you've elected us. And Lord, we are found of you. There's many to be found. But Lord, I thank you for the strategy. I thank you for a strategy, Lord, in this battle. And that's simply staying close to you and not compromising, not believing a lie, not receiving what we hear, but receiving the truth and walk into absolute peace of mind, peace in our spirits, to being a whole man. Oh, we love you, Jesus. If there be a man or woman at home or in this building, this is Pastor Paulette, I don't know Jesus, or I'm in a backslidden condition, I need to come back to the Lord. I don't know him like I once did, but I need to. Well, you can right now. This Jesus who has the crown already on his head, and he has them laid up for you. He has dominion over everything. He has dominion over that thing that is tormenting your mind and tormenting your spirit. The devil doesn't have that dominion. He doesn't have that dominion in this earth. He doesn't have dominion in your home unless you give it to him. If you give it to him, then he'll take all he can get. But pray with me now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I invite you into my heart. Come and fill my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. And help me to stand steadfast. And reveal your word to me as I read. Open my heart to receive your love. In Jesus' name, I receive you as Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Any day, folks, any day, you will see it. You'll be walking through the mall. See, it's not all about these four walls. This is the least of what we do. This is the least of it. This is just 1 hour on Sunday morning. But it's what we do out there. You'd be walking through the mall or over at Save Mart, and some person will walk up to you and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I think you can help me. And you'll say, I don't think. I know I can. And you're not bragging. You just know who Jesus is. That's all you know. See, it's not about us, but it's about him. And you know him. And you'll say, yes, I can, baby. Oh, yes, I can. And you'll take their little hand or their big hand, and you'll say, in Jesus' name, you foul spirit, you leave them now. And that demon will run. I'm going to tell you something. That's revival, folks. That is the glory of the Lord. And if God says the baby is crowning its mother, that's the church. He's getting ready to pour out of his spirit on us. But you be mindful. And you pay attention, Shannon. You listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you every day. Wonder, you're 90 years old, but you're not too old. You pay attention in your prayer closet every morning after you've prayed, after you just close your mouth and say, now what, Holy Spirit? What do you want to tell me? And then you be mindful to give it away to others. I bless you today in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his countenance towards you, to your home, to your pocketbook, and all you have, and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you all peace. In Jesus' name, amen.